Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Listening to SOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. You're listening to SOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to SOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Praise His holy name this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, and I want to talk about the precise moment when we begin to encounter the enemies of the gospel. Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And what we have to understand is that our flesh will react in the exact opposite way that the Holy Spirit wants us to react. There's a antithetical relationship there. And when we are confronted with those that are denigrating the Lord, His Word, and the things of God, we get angry. And we should. The Bible says that we should hate evil. That's an honest emotion. If somebody doesn't get angry when those things take place, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. And what the devil wants to do, he wants to take that honest emotion of righteous indignation and flip it into a response made in carnal wrath. And when we allow that to happen, we remove ourselves from the anointing and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you that God can do more in 5 seconds than you can do in a year. That word fitly spoken and anointed from the Holy Spirit can melt a person's heart and bring them to conviction and repentance. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 15. Then we're going to go down and read some very important instruction from the great apostle concerning the standard of ministry. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To do that of which we speak this morning, for to be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is within us. Be ready to give an apologia. And that means that you have to be ready to give an intelligent response to those that ask you. That's going to take study, isn't it? That's going to take study, and the Word of God isn't something that you're going to make your friend if you just occasionally pick it up. It's a lifelong, constant pursuit with the Word of God, and you will never wear it out, you will never exhaust it. But if you pursue it in a right and reverent way, it will ever feed your soul and make you fruitful for the kingdom of God. Now, let's go down to verse 24, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 26 in a block. Then we're going to go back, and we're going to look at a lot of specific things here that are very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness," there's that word again we saw in 1 Peter 3:15, "in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, in verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive. And that word strive just means to argue. The Word of God is not to be argued. The Word of God is to be defended. We are to have an intelligent, structured response to defend the Word of God and to confirm it to those that receive it. But we are not to take the truths of God and throw them for pearls, be trampled under feet by spiritual hogs. The Word of God is precious and holy, and we are not to strive. And our flesh wants to strive. Our flesh wants to argue. Our flesh wants to get mad and tell people what for. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. The reason why we must not, because that will remove you from the place the Holy Spirit can help you. The servant of the Lord must strive, but be gentle. Now that is what, Donna?
Not strive.
Yeah, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Gentle. Now that's exactly the opposite of the way your flesh wants to react. Your flesh wants to be the Cro-Magnon man with the club in his hand to bash the forces of evil. But we must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. That means that if you don't have something from the Word of God to share with them, you might as well shut up. If you are not able to take the Word of God and teach on something, just be quiet. You're not going to help. And patient. You are to be patient. And this is the exact opposite of the way our flesh wants to handle it. But if you can either do it your way and have no results, or you can do it the Lord's way and you can see the captive set free. And here in verse 25, there's that word again, in meekness. And that means in a gentle and a kind way. And that doesn't mean that we're never to be bold and brave. The Bible says of Moses that he was the meekest of all men, and Moses did some very dynamic things. But meekness speaks to our relationship with God, that we understand that we can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. In meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. And people that are captive by false doctrine and sin, they will come against you, but they're really opposing themselves. We don't fight against flesh and blood. The scripture here brings out the snare of the devil. And we have to understand that this just isn't an intellectual argument, that I'm going to come up with five intellectual points that's going to convince this person's mind. Of people that are in bondage to doctrines of devils and whatever, they don't think logically, and they cannot even think logically. They're not even capable of constructive, deductive reasoning because their minds are blinded. And we have to understand that we can't just approach this from an intellectual level. We use the Word of God to bring conviction and repentance on an individual. And this apologia must be presented in a gentle, intelligent, yet direct and uncompromising way. And this is how, and this is so important. Let's go to John chapter 15. And I cannot emphasize this enough, and I believe that this is one of the real keys that is going to make our ministry this year more effective than ever. In John chapter 15, let's read verse 4 and 5. And this is something that we must ever be mindful of. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." You know, you're a branch, you ain't the vine, and you can't bear fruit in yourself. You got to be hooked in. "Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." We need to really understand this, that we are fighting a fight here. We need the help of the Lord. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, because we are seeking to free people from the snare of the devil. And if we do not do it the Lord's way, we will see no results. And in fact, not only will we see no results, but we will do more harm than we will do good. Let's look at the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 19 and 20. There he is. James chapter 1, verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Our anger will do nothing to bring about the things of God. And if we fall into that trap of the devil, we're going to be helping him and not hurting him. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33. And this is a verse that many times is brought up by those that don't like to play by the rules that the Lord lays down. And there are those out there in ministry. I call them flamethrowers. They like to sensationalize and just denigrate. And it's like, you know, this woman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or she was the head of the DNC, and it was her job just to slime and denigrate the integrity of anybody that would not be in line with them. And there's a lot of people that try to conduct Christian ministry in pretty much the same way. Now, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. This is what Jesus said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And we have to be strong in coming against sin. We have to be strong in coming against evil. But we better be careful calling names. And I want to call upon a couple wise old heads, Matthew Henry and Albert Barnes. And Bible commentaries are, as one person said, all commentators are just commentators. And we don't go with the opinion of any man over the Word of God, but it's good to get an opinion from godly men and women that have studied and gone before. And here's a couple worth listening to. This is what Matthew Henry says on Matthew 23:33. He said, "Doth Christ call names? Yes, but this doth not warrant us to do so. He infallibly knew what was in man, and knew them to be subtle as servants, cleaving to the earth, feeding on the dust." And when you call somebody a name, you are saying that you have the ability to judge their heart. Now, this is above our pay grade, and we have to be very direct, but we have to understand that there are lines that if we go across, we fall into sin ourselves. And in our zeal to refute error, we become sinners ourselves. Much in the same way that the minister preaching a right message falls in to condemnation himself because of the pretense. Now, let's listen to what Albert Barnes says about this. "This is the sternest language that Jesus ever used to wicked men, but it by no means authorizes ministers to use such language to sinners now. Christ knew that this was the true of them. He had an authority which none now have. It is not the province of ministers to denounce judgment or to use severe names, least of all to do it on the pretense of imitating Christ. He knew the hearts of men. We know them not. He had authority to declare certainly that those whom he addressed would be lost. We have no such authority. He addressed persons. We address characters." Boy, that's good advice. You see, we can speak, and I'm going to use Joseph Prince, as I often do, for an example. We can speak to what Joseph Prince says, and we can speak to what he does. But I cannot speak to the motives of my heart, because that is above my pay grade. So I must be very careful to speak to the character and not to the person. As the old adage goes, we must love the sinner and hate the sin. And as to his motives, and his motives might be the very best in the world, and that doesn't matter. You see, I have dealt with Mormon missionaries and Jehovah's Witnesses, and some of them have been the most sincere people you would ever want to meet. But that does not mean that they're correct. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. The motives of Mr. Prince's heart are irrelevant. We must speak to what he says. And I want us to take this morning the Joseph Prince Challenge. And we have there in the chat room, above the chat, below the chat, okay, thank you, Sister Donna. We have there below the chat the Joseph Prince Challenge, and we're going to take that this morning, and we're going to use this as a challenge of one of the many, and we're going to respond to that this morning in apologia by the Word of God, and we're going to use this as an instance. And this is the Joseph Prince Challenge, and as you notice here, we have it there, and we have it documented. This is a documented statement from Joseph Prince. We have the book Destined to Reign there, and we have this page it's on. This is not conjecture. This is fact. We are not going to judge his heart. We're going to judge what he says, and we're going to judge it, and it's a challenge. Let's listen to what he says. He says, "The bottom line is that the Holy Spirit never convicts you of your sins. He never comes to point out your faults. I challenge you to find a scripture in the Bible that the Holy Spirit comes to convict you of your sins. Now, we're going to accept that challenge this morning. And this is such a frightening statement. This is just absolutely frightening. Now, let's go to the Word of God and let's respond to Mr. Prince with a little apologia. John chapter 16 and verse 8 and 9. And this is the principal passage from the doctrine of Christ on conviction and the role of the Holy Spirit in convicting. And even the humblest child of God, of which I consider myself, understands that when you adopt wrong practices and wrong attitudes, that the Holy Spirit will convict your heart and let you know you're wrong. If you know what I'm talking about, just raise your hand this morning. Say amen. I see that hand out there. Amen. This is something that every child of God knows, the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And in John chapter 16, in verse 8 and 9, Jesus says, speaking of the Holy Ghost, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me." Now, that word reprove is translating the word elegchos. And that word in the Greek, it means to reprove with conviction upon the offender, to take someone, so to speak, and show them that they're wrong. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's what brings a person to Christ. The conviction of the Holy Spirit lets us know that we're sinners, but when we become a Christian, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit does not stop in our hearts. And let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And this is what's so frightening. When someone like Mr. Prince makes a statement like this, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And as every child of God knows, one of the principal ways that the Holy Spirit leads us is through conviction, letting us know when our attitudes and actions are not pleasing to God. And when Mr. Prince says that the Holy Spirit doesn't do this for anybody, and he challenges us to prove it, what Mr. Prince is in effect saying is that the Holy Spirit never convicts him of his sins. And what Mr. Prince is virtually doing, he is placing himself outside the bounds of Christianity by making such a frightening statement like this. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and let's look at verse 19 and 20. And we're going to look at some scriptures that use the word elegchos. This is number 1651 in the Strong's. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20. The word of the Lord says here, "As many as I love, I rebuke, elegchos. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Jesus, the risen Lord, in the letter to the church of Laodicea, said that everyone he loves will experience elegchos and chastisement. It is the love of God that convicts us and chastises us. So, what a frightening statement to say, the Holy Spirit never does that to me, and never does it to anybody. That is frightening and disturbing. Let's look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, the word says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove, elegchos them." Reprove, elegchos them. And once again, I am going to call this morning on John Wesley's old friend Adam Clark to give us some insight here. This is what Mr. Clark says. He says, "But rather reprove them, bear a testimony against them, convince them that they are wrong, confute them in their vain reasons, reprove them for their vices which are flagrant, while pretending to superior illumination. All these meanings has the Greek word elegchos, which we generally render to convince or reprove." And we have come to a place in the apostate American religious system that to do that is absolutely unacceptable. This is the premise of Mr. Prince and Mr. Osteen, that to do this is just absolutely unacceptable, because we must speak positive things. And this is absolutely taking the church, well, they'll never take the church into the sewer, but this is taking the modern American religious system into deep apostasy. And what they're doing is scarcely even recognizable as biblical Christianity, because it's not. Now, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast, and this is addressed to the bishop, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince elegchos, the gainsayers. And here we see the responsibility of every elder to use the Word of God and sound doctrine. It is the Word of God that brings the conviction, elegchos, of the Holy Spirit upon people. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy. So, you see, to make a statement like this, this is just to say that everything the Bible says a ministry should be and a Christian should be, we're not going to do it. There is no such thing, and we're not going to do it. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verse 2 and 3. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, elegchos. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And here again, we are instructed to use the Word of God and sound doctrine to bring about elegchos and repentance on people. Now, we must ask the question, what is sound doctrine? And the Apostle Paul makes that abundantly clear, as does the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. If any man teach otherwise, and that means any man, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, comma, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Doesn't say he knows a little bit, said he doesn't know anything. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Sound doctrine is consenting to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus says something, I consent to it. I agree with it. And what could be more prideful than when Jesus tells us something to say, oh, I know something better than that. Now, a person that does that, does not consent to Jesus' words, it's not that they know a little bit. They don't know nothing. They are proud. And what could be more prideful than thinking that you can disregard what Jesus says and say something better? Now, we're going to close out with a word of prayer this morning. And stay tuned right after we close in a word of prayer. We are going to have a testimony from Rebecca Ogie. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, Sister Rebecca flew in from Atlanta to spend a day with us, and what a blessed day. And I know that the things, you know, I don't run this ministry like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Casper the Friendly Ghost would always go around saying, "Will you be my friend?" And I hope everybody is my friend, but we don't run it like Casper the Friendly Ghost. We run it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I hope everybody's my friend, but I'm not going to budge off that which God has committed unto us to be anybody's buddy. Now understand that. I hope everybody's my pal, but I know that's not going to be the way it's going to be. But for everyone that would oppose us and contend with us, one Rebecca O.J. is worth 10,000 of them. When you see that soul set free and set on fire for God, my goodness, that's what it's all about, folks. And that's what we want to see a lot of in 2015. And in her testimony, something that really amazed me, she talks about how that at Christmas time, she said, and she come from southern Nigeria, that she couldn't understand why at Christmas time this was the very height of the voodoo celebrations. And as she puts it, they carried on more than ever at Christmas time. And she says, "I am so thankful to know about Christmas. Now I understand." But let's close out with a word of prayer and stick around and listen to her testimony. It'll bless your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for each and every one listening to the broadcast this morning. Father, we pray that in 2015, we are more fruitful from ever than bringing people into the kingdom of God and setting the captives free. Lord, teach us how to partner together as a body in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And we give you the praise, mighty God, in Jesus' name, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week on FOJC Radio Church.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless. You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
Hello, everyone. This is Donna Carrico, and I'm here with our sister in the Lord, Miss Rebecca O.G. She's from Mableton, Georgia, originally from Nigeria. And we're having a great time of prayer here. She came all the way from Georgia to meet with us and get prayer, and we're just so excited for her to be here. So right now, I'm going to turn the mic over to Rebecca, and she's going to just give you a little bit of her testimony. So, Rebecca, go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Dana. I am very happy to be here with Sister Dana and Brother David today, and I'm happy to get to know them, because for a very long time I had a lot of disappointments with pastors, with fake pastors, churches here and there. I didn't know where to go, and I prayed God to show me His people. I said there must be good people out there. There must be true believers out there who likes to worship God, the Spirit and the Truth. And before I knew it, God answered the prayers and led me to Brother and Sister Dana and Brother David. So I didn't care how much it's going to cost me to come from Georgia to come see them so we can talk. And, you know, I came, and I'm glad I came. And everything about her book, about their book that I've read, is just the truth, nothing but the truth. And about the Christmas, from beating to veto, the book I've read is a very powerful one. And when I read through it, actually energized me. I feel like going out there and do what Jesus wants us to do. And coming here today to meet with them has been a blessing. About Christmas, that I had questions about it a long time ago, because in Nigeria, both the voodoo worshippers, the witch doctors, everybody, they celebrate it. They call the Christmas. The Christmas, the small New Year, and the New Year, the big New Year. They celebrate big time with the drum and the beating and the singing and carry on. So I never knew why they were doing it. But reading from the book that I read from Sadan wrote, I found out why they are celebrating, because it's not necessarily Christmas, the birth of Christ. It's just a ritual that they go through. So it's a pleasure to be able to learn all this and having to know all the secrets about what is going on with the spiritual world. So I'm very, very happy and happy to know these people, Sister Dana and Brother David. And I'm glad I'm here, and I'm very happy to know them. And I want you all to stay with Jesus and be the follower of Jesus, and, you know, just do what Jesus says, and don't listen to what others are doing, because it's really very bad out there with the churches. Thank you.
We want to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for sending Rebecca our way. We're really thrilled because Rebecca has six children, and two of which live in Nigeria, and the rest of them here in the States. And she's going to be sharing our resources with them so they can share it wherever they are. So praise God for that. And if there's anyone else that wants to ask questions or come visit us, just give us a call at 812-473-3735. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
This is January 3rd, 2015.
Desert Southwest out here in the Rockies. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at